All right.
Okay.
Let's see, how many Iditarods is this? Seven?
Five.
Five? Okay. Fifth Iditarod. I guess one of the questions that I'm doing this for somebody that doesn't know much about mushing, so could you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into mushing and your occupation?
Well, I got into mushing good many years ago. I used to trap, and we used to use dogs all the time before the snow machines came along. Then I gave up, when the snow machines came, I gave up on the dogs until the Iditarod came back and then came along, and then I got back into dogs again. And my occupation is I'm a maintenance foreman for the Department of Transportation in Ruby.
Don, on that subject about dogs, I know Herbie Nyapuk pretty much said the same thing living up in Shishmaref, that before the Iditarod came, that the dog teams were pretty much going out. And what impact do you think the Iditarod has on team and teams and developing dogs in Alaska?
I think it's had a tremendous impact on the villages, especially, not only the villages, but especially in the villages where the snow machines came along and there was hardly any dogs. A few years ago in Ruby alone, we could barely get maybe three or four teams for a race there. Now we can get 10 or 15 teams for a race any weekend there in Ruby alone. And the impact in the other villages is basically the same thing.
I want to ask another question, because I know that your family is really a big part of your operation there with the dogs. I was thinking of doing a story about the effects of the Iditarod on the families. Now, some families have a real tough time at it. You know, the financial stress seemed to really get them down, and there's a high divorce rate, if you will, among a lot of Iditarod mushers. But people such as yourself, and like Ernie Baumgartner is another one that I would point to that seems to, I don't know, the family's all part of it. Could you just sort of talk about that for a minute?
Sure. I think it would be impossible for me to do it by myself without the backing of my family. One of my boys, Rocky, has helped me the past three racing seasons, and prior to that, I had one of the other boys helping me, and they do a lot of the taking care of the dogs. I do the running myself, but they take care of the dogs. And as for my wife, I think I can sympathize with her, because it does take a lot of my time to be running dogs and a lot of expense, and I'm just lucky that I've had her for 33 years, and I don't think that she wants to quit me now, even if I am into dog mushing.
What about, I'd like to talk a little bit about strategy for a minute. I guess maybe I just haven't really, there's different people that I can look at, like a Rick Swenson, and I mean, I could be wrong with my assessment, but he seems to be one that sort of looks at his dogs. He might hold back a little bit, and he always makes his move in the end. Joe May seems to be the type to me that sort of, he looks at what his dogs are capable of, and he pushes them exactly that far, and he just sizes them up and goes with it. What kind of, how would you assess your strategy? Like, what do you look at?
Well, I don't really have a strategy. What I do is just see what the other guy's doing, and then try to do the same thing he's doing, whoever's up in front there. A lot of the young mushers are probably getting really excited about the first part of the race, but if you'll notice that hardly any time during the race is the leaders in the middle of the race necessarily the leaders after you get to know them. So there's a lot of strategy in there. I'm just going to see what the leaders are doing and try to be competitive with them and try to basically do the same thing they're doing.
With trail conditions this year, they seem to be pretty similar as to 1980, where they, you know, there's a lot of ice, a lot of bare ground, and no snow. Not anything to really look forward to. People are saying it's going to be a tough year on the dogs and a pretty easy year on the musher. What about the trail conditions? What do you see ahead?
Oh, I'm anticipating a fun race. I think we're going to go out there and have all kinds of fun.
How about a little more descriptive? What do you mean? Like, I know Ron was in Galena not too long ago. He said it's pretty much a straight super glare ice down the Yukon, and I've heard the same thing about the first 18 miles of the race, and my friends over on the coast say there's no snow. What kind of a race, what does that to the dogs? You know, it must really, I remember Joe's big word was, you know, the dogs always get really demoralized on a race like that.
Oh, I don't think that's so. I think that they have a lot of fun because they're up there trying to get rid of you in the back, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun because you're going to see lots of crashes and everything go at the first part of the race there. I'm not really looking forward to it, but I anticipate that it's going to be rough where there's no snow. I say fun race because it's going to be fun watching the other guys do it at the same time.
Do you think that a person like Cowboy Smith has sort of changed the nature of the race, you know, with his let's get out in front and move, 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 forcing guys like Swenson who might prefer to go a little slower? Do you think that he's changed the race very much?
Oh, yes, he sure has. He's changed it tremendously. A few years ago, especially in 76 when I first ran the race, we didn't get really serious about the race until we got maybe to Caltag or over on the coast, but now everybody's serious right from the start, and it does take a little fun out of it, but it makes it more little more competitive also. You have to change your style a little bit and not sleep as much as you would if, like in 76, we got lots of sleep, but I don't anticipate that we're going to get that much sleep this year.
With a race like this, do you think, a warm year. I remember a long time ago, back at the beginning of the Iditarod, they said the dogs always need a nice, cool race. You know, cold weather, they do better. But I remember listening to Swenson in 79 and Joe even in 80 saying that he felt that although the cold weather is good for the dogs actually can consistently do better in the warmer weather. What's your feeling about the temperatures and the best ideal conditions for mushing?
Well, I think the cold weather...
detriment
to them because it takes so much energy for them just to keep warm in the cold weather, and you have to feed your dogs a lot more. By the same token, you know, if it's a real warm year, they're not getting it's sapping their strength also. I think it's if you can get down to about maybe 5 below or 0, you know, it that's an ideal situation for the race. It's ideal weather and. I myself prefer just about 10 below.
One last question. Who do you see up in the top five? Don Honey or who else?
No, I don't anticipate Don Honey being up there, but there's, you got Rick and you got Cowboy and you got Herbie and Emmett. You got a whole bunch of good mushers in there, and it's really hard to predict anyone being up there until you get on the trail and see what they've got.
Well, we'll be wishing you luck. I won't be along the trail this year, but I'll see you in Nome. Make sure that this is on test. Okay, a big question that's on everyone's mind is trail. What do you think about the trail?
I don't know any more about the trail than anybody else, and I've heard a lot of speculation and a lot of rumor and a lot of conjecture about it, but everybody's guessing about it, and I've heard some projections and some forecasts about how long it's going to take to run the race, and taking a couple of days off of the trail time, and it's just my opinion, but I think those people are rowing around with one oar out of the water. The race last year was 100, 150, maybe even 200 miles shorter than the race the year before, so they took 2 days off of the time, and now the press is talking about taking 2 more days off of the time, except the trail is back to about 200 miles longer. And if some of these drivers go out there anticipating that they're going to run last year's race on this year's trail, the finish line for them is probably going to be around Unalakleet. So I look for a 14 or 15 day race. Anyway, that's what it's going to take me. If those other people do make it in 10 days, I'm not even going to be there for the banquet.
Joe, I'd like to talk a minute about sort of like strategy, and maybe I could be all off base on this, but I look at a guy like Rick Swenson, and he seems to look at his dogs and he lots of times mixes moves near the end of the race, like in Koyuk or Shaktulik or something, where he'll really start pushing his dogs then. I look at you and you seem to be a little bit, you seem to look more at your dogs, at what they're capable of, and then you go to that extent or whatever. On a trail like this, if that assessment is accurate, first, if it's not accurate, straighten it up. But if it is accurate, then what... do you think you'll have an advantage on a trail like this? Because it could, you know, the same thing could happen back like in 80 where you guys really, your strategy worked. You know, it was what the dogs were capable of and not looking at what anybody else was doing.
Yeah, your assessment is right. I'm probably a lot more methodical than Rick is, and he makes a lot of his moves from move to move, but he's really fine on his moves, and his judgment is pretty acute, and he doesn't make very many mistakes. So I wouldn't be the one to say that one way is better than another, only that my way is better for me. And I really couldn't say which kind of a system would be better on this kind of a trail. I don't think it's as much a system as the kind of dogs that we're driving. And his dogs are a lot different than mine, and they're suited to one kind of a trail, and mine are suited to a different kind of a trail. And I think that's got a lot more bearing on the outcome rather than the way we run the dogs, because I don't think either one of us make that many technical mistakes. We run pretty close on that. It's just the difference in the dogs and the difference in the trail.
With the difference in training, you back at in 80, I remember at the end of the trail interview, you said that it was coincidental, but that it did happen, that you just trained on pretty much the same conditions of what the trail actually turned out to be, like, you know, bare ice, no snow, and pretty bad trail conditions. Is that what you're talking about? You mean like training for different types of ricks up there in Eureka, where they pretty well have, you know, trails in the interior are really superb?
Well, no, Rick has finer bone, speedier dogs than mine. He has a faster dog team than I'm driving. But I think maybe I've got a stamina factor that's superior to his, given the same amount of training, you know, if we both get the same amount of miles on and so on. And some of my dogs are, well, most especially the front end, are pretty tough-minded dogs. And if the going gets bad day after day after day, mentally they hold up really well. And I like to think that I can do better in those kind of conditions. But if it's a hard, fast trail and it's just straight ahead, then there's nothing I can do about him. I mean, he's just gone, you know.
I'd like to ask another question. If you don't want to answer it, that's fine. I look at a person like Rick Swenson, and I see a person such as yourself, even 20 times more so than like Cowboy Smith or somebody, that can really do a real psych job on Rick, mainly because you can really size him up, and I think you're really good at figuring out like mental, I don't know what can, you. I can see a person like you who he respects really getting mentally worn down by someone such as yourself, like what happened in 1980. Rick was really at a down point in Caltag. He was furious at himself and at his dogs, and it was mainly because of the guys that were out in front, and he kept thinking, maybe I'm doing something wrong and something. Now, I know you and Herbie even more so, he's just out there on himself completely, but I don't know, I just can't help but think that that's going to be a big factor in this race. It might not be necessarily there last year, a person like yourself there.
Well, every race, the team bottoms out and the driver seems to bottom right out with him at some place in the race. And maybe that's where Rick's mental attitude and maybe his dog's mental attitude bottomed out there. That was perhaps it. And then they always come back up again. And I try to realize that every time I'm out there when it's happening. But every time it happens, it's a new experience and it's kind of a depression, you know. And we run differently. Rick is racing against people. And he's having fun. It's the competitiveness and the spirit of the competitiveness that he enjoys and watching people. And I guess he said it himself. He likes to play the cat and mouse game. But I'm not that kind of a competitor, if I'm a competitor at all. My competition is the clock at the starting line. And when I can make an announcement. I mean, this is the way I run my race. I don't change anything. I don't hide anything. There's nothing to hide. I'll go off of the starting line. And my goal is to get to know him in the least amount of hours, get that dog team ahead of me to know him in the least amount of hours and bring him up the street looking in good shape. And I'll make that announcement, and I don't care who knows it. So, in essence, I don't care what anybody else is doing out there. They could be standing on their head or going backwards, and it would mean absolutely nothing to me. So, consequently, after a while, if I'm doing well, then pretty soon I've got a vacuum, and I'm pulling people with me. And they're watching me instead of, I'm driving their dogs, is what it amounts to. And I don't have to beat them because it's not that important to me. And they know that, but they have to beat me. So I think it gives me a nice mental edge. I really don't care. I'm out there on the trail all alone. I'm just all alone out there. It's the dogs and I, and we're going to Nome. That's it. And we're going to get there in fine shape.
Now, Joe, if you don't mind me saying this, I've heard rumors that you have lists of all the mushers and all their all their bad points or their weak points, let's say, you know, like some guy doesn't want to get out of the sack and this guy like Rick maybe likes to travel with company and stuff like that. Now, if you're really not competitive, and there's probably a few other things if I had time to think about, I could probably think about them. But There is, I don't know, I guess there's a part that I'd like to believe what you're saying about not being competitive, but then there seems to be another part that's there too.
Well,
I don't know what it is, but it's...
No, I don't have a list, Sue, but it is, after you've raced with those people, you've run with those people for a while, you do get to know, and it's essential to the race, the outcome of the race. The people in the front end, I know pretty much how much sleep they have to function, and I know how they function when they're tired. And that's a part of this race. It's not going around a 10-mile trail. That's a very important part of this race. If somebody can't get out of the sleeping bag on the far end of the race, it doesn't make any difference how good his dogs are. And unfortunately, it's some of the best drivers that need the least sleep. And so you get to a situation up there where everybody's functioning on an hour or 2 hours sleep, and the guys that have the good teams but require more sleep than that aren't up in the front end. They're back a little bit further. It's not knocking their teams. They're just as good as... But they've got to have sleep. It's a physical thing.
Good. But I wanted to ask a couple questions about different strategies. What I know you're going to laugh. I'm going to turn. What kind of strategy are you involved in? What do you think about when you're out on the trail? Is it just your race? Do you look at the other guys, or what do you do?
Okay. It's kind of hard to say because everybody has to have an idea of strategy before they start, and then they always change it. Because your dogs come down with something, they get a little sick, maybe the weather gets real hot, and they can't move as fast, so you can't go as far and so forth. But there are two basic strategies which you've outlined. One is to go for it from the start, and the other is to kind of keep your dogs fresh and then try to blow them away at the end of the race. And it just depends on circumstances and luck as to which type of team will come in first. You have your power dogs and you got your speed dogs, and nobody knows what that race is going to be before they get on it. And you can go for speed and train for speed. You get a real fast trail and there's just not another team that can touch you. But then you do that and it snows and everybody's walking over you. So Rick has been extremely fortunate. He's had a lot of things going his way in the past. He's also very good with his dogs. He can, you know, spot potential trouble before it happens. He's an excellent trainer and has an excellent eye for dogs. So he's got he makes a lot of his own luck. The other guys are learning too. So I don't think you'll see that anybody's going to continue to, you know, completely take over the race, you know, too much longer in the future. As far as my own strategy goes, normally it would be that I would just stay. Usually what I try to do.
Here's a hammer and here's my equipment. Susan, at the banquet, you said you were going out for number one. What's your special strategy in that? Are you going to go out full blast ahead like Cowboy, or are you going to sort of stay with the front and then pull out in front like near the end there like Rick does, or what's your strategy for reaching that goal?
Well, I'm going to be right up in the front, but it kind of depends. My draws got me an hour behind Cowboy and Rick and stuff like that. It may be tough.